Michael leaned forward and said, "Harry, please. I know that your life has not been an easy one. You're a good man. But you are as vulnerable as anyone. These enemies don't want you dead." He looked down at his hands. "They want you." Which scared me. Really scared me. Maybe because it seemed to disturb Michael so much, and very little disturbs him. Maybe because I had seen Rasmussen, and would always be able to see him there, trapped, wildly laughing. Or maybe it was because part of me wondered if it would be so impossible to find a way to use the power the coin obviously offered. If it had made some random schmuck on the way to pan for gold into a killing machine that it took all 3 Knights of the Cross to handle, what could someone like me do with it? Beat the living snot out of Duke Paolo Ortega, that's for sure. I blinked, refocusing my eyes. Michael watched me, his expression pained, and I knew that he'd guessed at my thoughts. I closed my eyes, shame making my stomach uneasy. "You're in danger, Harry," Michael said. "Leave the case alone." "If I was in so much danger," I responded, "why did Father Vincent come and hire me?" "Fort Hill asked him not to," Michael said. "Father Vincent disagrees with Fort Hill on how supernatural matters are to be handled." I stood up and said, "Michael, I'm tired. I'm really damn tired." "Harry," Michael chided me. "Darned," I mumbled. "Darned tired. Darn me unto heck." I headed for the door and said, "I'm heading home to get some sleep. I'll think about it." Michael stood up and Shiro with him, both of them facing me. "Harry," Michael said, "you are my friend. You've saved my life. I've named a child for you. But stay out of this business, for my sake, if not for your own."
"And if I don't," I asked,
"then I'll have to protect you from yourself. In the name of God, Harry, please don't push this." I turned and left without saying goodbye. In this corner, one missing shroud, one impossibly and thoroughly dead corpse, one dedicated and deadly vampire warlord, 3 holy knights, 29 fallen angels, and a partridge in a pear tree. And in the opposite corner, one tired, bruised, underpaid professional wizard, threatened by his allies and about to get dumped by his would-be girlfriend for John Q. Humdrum. Oh, yeah. Definitely bedtime.